Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. This is Brian Haydad here on Super Talk Mississippi, Thunder and Lightning. What a day. What a weird day. If you're a viewer, if you're watching us here on Super Talk TV and you're like, that is not where he normally is, you're right. You're correct in that assessment. We won't go into all those details. But thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening, a big Wednesday evening of sports here in Starkville. Rhino is down in Studio X. Rhino, I needed you earlier. Things were going wrong. Where were you? I needed your help.
I was on a break.
You abandoned me. I don't know. Anyway. We are brought to you by the good folks over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com. Today, I saw on Twitter, from their Twitter page, today is the 125th birthday of the Vicksburg National Military Park, which, of course, is an iconic location down there in Vicksburg. But there's a lot more to do in my hometown than just the park. We're going to tell you about some of the great stuff that's happening in Vicksburg throughout the show. But we have to start over at the Humphrey Coliseum, an absolutely massive game tonight between two teams that, well, they don't much like each other. I think that's why Richard Cross did not promote this program before he got off the air. He's already letting that hatred seep into his soul between Mississippi State and Ole Miss. But they will have round two of their basketball series tonight, tipping off just over 2 hours from now at the Hump. A game that, you know, when we went to the Pavilion a few weeks ago in Oxford, that was a tremendous college basketball game. Ole Miss getting the win, 86-82 over the Bulldogs. I will be surprised personally if the scoring is that high again. Both teams were really clicking offensively, and both teams got offense from unexpected sources in that game. For Ole Miss, it was T.J. Caldwell. That's a guy who averages, you know, 5-6 points a game. He had 18. Deshaun Davis is a guy who averages 4 points a game for Mississippi State. He had 15 in that game. And Tolu Smith was not a big factor in that game at all for Mississippi State. I talked about it just a moment ago on Sports Talk Mississippi. I think Tolu's a huge key for Mississippi State tonight. I think that he is a guy that, you know, if he can show up tonight and give State 17, 18 points and 8 or 9 rebounds like he's capable of doing, well, I mean, that would have made a huge difference a few weeks ago. It would have won the game for the Bulldogs. Josh Hubbard, I feel like you can rely on. And honestly, Cam Matthews at this point, I feel like you can rely on him for points too. Shaq Moore is getting to that point as well. But Tolu has got to be the guy who everything runs through. And he's got to get touches on offense. And he's got to get touches in the paint where he can go up and shoot. I feel like State has not done a great job this year of putting him in good positions. They're putting him out away from the basket, making him back his way in. And he has trouble protecting the basketball at times. That's a huge key for State. And then with Hubbard, I talked about this earlier, and I'm not saying this is going to happen tonight, but all season long I've been kind of waiting for Hubbard to have this game where he just hits 7 or 8 three-pointers. And if that happens tonight, obviously I would take Mississippi State's chances to win. They would go way, way up. So for Ole Miss, it's the same thing. You know, the three ball is really what made a difference for them in Oxford, and they were able to hit some three-point shots and sort of control the game that way. And if you remember the last 5-6 minutes of that game, it was just haymaker after haymaker. Ole Miss hits a shot, and you're like, okay, they're going to put them away. Then State would come down and hit a shot and say, no, they're right back in the game. And it just kept going up until those final moments there at the end. So just a massive game. Today's bracketology report from Joe Lunardi of ESPN, he said State is comfortably in at this time. Now, that doesn't mean they can start losing games and be all right. They still need to pile up wins, and tonight's a good quad two opportunity for them. But for Ole Miss, it is win or you're out. Now, that doesn't mean Ole Miss can't get back in. It doesn't mean that Ole Miss couldn't, you know, win the rest of their games and be easily in the NCAA tournament. But if they want to stay in the projections right now, they need to come to Starkville and get a win. Ole Miss has not been great on the road this year. Their only win on the road in SEC play is that game against Texas A&M. State has been pretty good at home this year, but they do have losses in conference play to Alabama. Just Alabama at home. And then they did lose a game at home in the non-conference to Southern, which we all recall. And, of course, that game continues to haunt Mississippi State. It's probably worth a good 10 spots worth of seeding in the net. I think State's net, the last I checked, was at 41. State has only played one game since they moved up to 34 after playing Missouri. They haven't played but the one game against Arkansas. Other teams are playing games around them, and so that's why they've dropped. If State wins tonight, they'll go back into the mid-30s. If they can win easily, they can find a way to hand the Rebels a double-digit loss, they might jump back into like the 31-32 range because it would be a quad 2 win. Ole Miss is currently sitting at 67 in the net, which means, that's as bubblicious as it can get for the Rebels. They've got to find a way to win this game tonight and come out of the Humphrey Coliseum with a win. Can they do that? I don't know the answer. State is currently a 6.5-point favorite. That's a game, that's a line that I'm a little bit surprised by. But I don't know what to say. I'm surprised that the line is that high. I thought it would be a little 3.5, 4.5 kind of line, but it is what it is for Mississippi State. So they are looking forward to a big crowd at the Humphrey Coliseum. They are looking forward to an anxious and an enthralled crowd tonight. All tickets are sold out. There are still tickets available in the secondary market, but from the university, everything is sold out at this point. So very good for Mississippi State. Chance to put not a signature win, but you want to win these games, obviously against your rival. That's one thing. But and the other thing is it's a chance to put another good win on your tournament resume. So Smith, Hubbard, Matthews, they've got to deliver for Mississippi State. For Ole Miss, the two Murrays, Morrell, Brakefield, those guys have got to show up for the Rebels. I think it's going to be a close back-and-forth game. I think we're going to get something similar to what we had in Oxford just a few weeks ago. I think we're going to see a very back-and-forth basketball game, and I don't know that I can put a prediction out there. I mean, I think State will win because it's at home, but Ole Miss, I mean, State has had a slip-up at home already this year, and if Ole Miss comes out hot and hitting shots, it's going to be tough like it was a season ago. Plus, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, Ole Miss has the size inside to bother Mississippi State. They can make it difficult to get the ball to Tolu Smith. They have big guys down there to handle that. So I just think it's going to be a close, back-and-forth, intense basketball game. And if State can win it, that you look ahead to the rest of the schedule. They play at LSU this weekend. I think that's a quad two opportunity. Then they'll have three straight quad ones, Kentucky at home, at Auburn, at Texas A&M. I know A&M lost to Arkansas last night, but that is not a game that's going to drop them out of the top 75. They'll finish with another quad two, South Carolina at home. So the rest of this schedule is resume-building wins for Mississippi State if they can get them. And they're losses that don't kill you if you lose them, but at the same time, State has to get wins. They only have 17. They probably, at 19, they're probably in. At 20, they're definitely in. At 20 wins, Mississippi State would be in. And there'll be no question about it. So, very exciting. Going to be a very exciting game in just over 2 hours from now at the Hump. I'm excited to get out there. Baseball happening on campus right now. We're going to have to talk about that. We're going to have to talk a little deeper than just a recap. But State leading Austin Peay 10-5 in the top of the sixth over there. State has 10 runs on 4 hits. They've scored 6 runs off bases-loaded walks. Baseball is a heck of a game sometimes. But this Mississippi State team, 2-2 on the year, about to go to 3-2. But we've got to talk about some bigger picture stuff with this baseball team. So big day for Mississippi State athletics. Big day around the state. You got Ole Miss baseball going on. The Rebels are losing 4-2 to Arkansas State. They just hit a home run there up there in Oxford. But then you got this game here. It's a big day. And these are the kind of days, you know, we've been looking forward to having for a while where everything's kind of going on all at once, and it's just enjoyable. It's enjoyable for most people. There's this one guy here on the protect line, but other than him, so we're not going to worry about that, though. But, yeah, man, I'm excited to get to the home tonight. I think it's going to be an outstanding atmosphere. They had a great atmosphere for the Alabama game. That was very, very, very intense game. Since then, the crowds have been good. They've been, you know, solid crowds, but they haven't had that you know, mid-90s Humphrey Coliseum intensity, that mid-2000s Humphrey Coliseum, I'll say it right eventually, intensity. So I'm interested to see, you know, with it being Ole Miss, you would expect the crowd to be ratcheted up a bit and ready to go. But, you know, this baseball game not going to be over. I don't know. I hope people make it to the game. I'm sure they'll come over. They better. I think at this point you got to say, look, you know, we gotta go. We gotta make the trip across the street to the Humphrey Coliseum. Let's talk baseball when we come back. We'll get back to basketball a little later in the show. Some of y'all are surprised this team is struggling. I want to find out why. You can hit me up on the C Spire text line 601-879-4395. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Madison Sellers.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning. Super Talk Mississippi. We're brought to you by our good friends over at the Visit Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. The historic, I say it's historic, there's history in the name, Brian. The run through history at the Vicksburg National Military Park, March 4th. 5K walk begins at 8:49. The 10K run, which will begin at 8:30, so if I was going to be there, I'd need to be there by 8:49, is what you're telling me. Entry fees, $30. And they've got a lot of great post-race party stuff happening, entertainment, food at the Vicksburg Hampton Inn, which is just right across the street. Entertainment, live entertainment from the Chill. And then there's also the awards that are going to be presented starting at 10:30 at Tony's Grill and Seafood Market. Well, there's a big crawfish boil, live music that starts at 2 o'clock. A lot going on there. The Run Through History is a big event in Vicksburg, and it's a lot of fun, and you get to run through the Vicksburg National Military Park, which is awesome. So, check it out. And, of course, you go to visitvicksburg.com for a lot more information on the great city of Vicksburg. Now 10-6, top of the sixth over at Duty Noble Field, Mississippi State leading Austin Peay. Austin Peay are the Governors, I believe, and they have a man on with two out. In the top of the sixth. State has not hit the ball well today, but they haven't had to. Austin Peay has been giving them a lot of free passes, as I mentioned earlier. State only has four hits in this game, but they have 10 runs because they have how many walks in this game? 13. Every player has walked at least once. Bryce Chance has walked three times. Hunter Hines has walked twice. It's a stat line that's just weird. It's just weird to look at when you take a look at it. And Mississippi State baseball is in a weird place right now. And if you listen to this show, if you listen to the actual podcast, you know that I have not been high on this Mississippi State baseball team. I've been saying all along I don't expect them to return to the NCAA tournament this year, that I think that they have too many holes. I will say that I've been pleasantly surprised thus far by their pitching. Justin Parker has come in. You know, we had him on the show just a couple weeks ago. And he has made this group look a lot better than they did a season ago. I mean, I know they've given up six runs today, but by and large, they're not putting guys on base for free the way they did a season ago. Today, only four walks thus far today, and that's, you know, from some guys. Copia Holcomb is a guy who's had some trouble. He had trouble this weekend. But I've seen a lot of you know, and I feel like I should preface things a lot of times that you know, I know that message boards and social media, that doesn't give you a really good wide look at a fan base and what they're thinking. But there's been a lot of, it feels like a lot of surprise from Mississippi State fans about this team and the way they struggled this past weekend and the way they struggled on Tuesday and the way they're kind of struggling today. And I just don't understand why. I don't understand why you thought that a team that didn't bring in any huge transfer portal guys. Now, I really liked what I saw from Kyle Steven Saturday and from Purdue. And I thought, yeah, I think, okay, that's a guy who could maybe make an impact. But State needed like four or five of those guys in the transfer portal and didn't get them. They whiffed on Luke Holman. They whiffed on Braden Montgomery. They brought back, you know, a bunch of guys from a season ago outside of Jordan and Hines and Larry, I guess, to a certain extent, not really proven hitters. And people thought things were suddenly going to be different. And when I say different, I'm not even talking about, you know, making a super regional or making it back to Omaha. I'm just talking about getting into the NCAA tournament. And I never saw it, and I still don't. Now, could I end up being wrong? Absolutely. This team, you know, they're missing some guys due to injury. David Mershon is out. Logan Kohler is out. When they get their lineup the way they want it to be, they could turn it on and start hitting the ball all over the yard. And if the pitching stays improved the way it's been, then you have some opportunities there, for sure. But I just look at it like this. I just didn't see enough change in the program to make me think there was going to be changes in the results. On the record, I said I was surprised that Chris Lemonis got this season. I thought that at the end of the year last year they might have moved on from him. But they didn't. And they let him run it back, and they bring a new pitching coach in. But, you know, how many times does, you know, changing assistant coaches make a huge difference in a team? I remember I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking about Jackie Sherrill. You know, he had those two terrible years, 0-1, 0-2. And everybody wanted to give him a third year. I didn't, but the people in power did. So he makes changes at the coordinator. He brings in two new coordinators, offensive and defensive. Okay, things are going to get better. Now they went 2-10. You know, it starts at the top. And for whatever reason, it's just not working for Chris Lemonis right now. And when you think about Mississippi State baseball and you think about the standard that Mississippi State fans hold this program to, and you think about the history and the tradition, and you think that they just won that national title 2 years ago, and the prevailing thought, and this is not my prevailing thought, this is prevailing thought from people who cover college baseball. I'll tell you, it was probably Richard Cross's prevailing thought that, okay, now the genie's kind of out of the bottle with Mississippi State. They've won a national title. They're about to start, you know, and become, I don't know if they're going to become like an LSU type situation where they win four or five in a 10 to 12 year period, but they're going to get another one. It's going to be pretty quick. And even if you don't think they're going to get another one, you certainly don't make the comment, well, they won this national title, so the next 2 years they'll miss the SEC tournament and finish last and second to last in the West. Nobody's thinking that. Everybody thinks this program's about to achieve another level. And instead, they continue to struggle. And they continue to lose games to Austin Peay and to Air Force, just like a season ago when they were losing to VMI and ULM in the first couple weeks of the season. Or 2 years ago when they were losing to Northern Kentucky and Long Beach State in the first couple of weeks of the season. If before anybody says, oh, Long Beach State's a decent program, yeah, they were. They weren't that year. And yet they came in and got 2 out of 3 from Mississippi State. So, you know, we've talked about it before with State's non-conference schedule. It's weak, and they've got 2 losses on their schedule right now to teams that a season ago were 140 and 191, I believe was the numbers in the RPI. So those are bad losses. They can't afford a lot more for 2 reasons. One, if they lose 5 or 6 non-conference games, how am I supposed to look at them and say, okay, well, yeah, but they'll win 13 or 14 conference games. You're not going to say that. But the other side of it is this. Even if they win 15 conference games somehow, those 6 losses are all dragging down your tournament resume. You know, we talked about the Southern game for Mississippi State basketball. That's one. They have one bad loss. Mississippi State right now, I mean, I can't make the assumption they're just going to go and reel off 12, 13, 14 wins in a row. They'll probably have 2 or 3 more. they're going to have four or five losses like that Southern loss. And that's going to be the difference, you know, between hosting and not hosting. That's going to be the difference between making it and not making it. That's kind of where this baseball program is right now. And they're just, it's not supposed to be that way for Mississippi State baseball. You don't spend $70 million on a baseball stadium for it to be empty in late May, early June. You don't spend the kind of money that Mississippi State puts into its program to not make, never mind, not even make the NCAA tournament, not make the SEC tournament. That's unacceptable. And that's a word I don't like to use, and you've heard me say that before, because unacceptable means there has to be consequences, right? There has to be something that changes. Is something going to change mid-season for Mississippi State? I doubt that. I don't see that happening. I think they play it out, and you get to the end of May, and you do what you got to do based on the results. If you're in the postseason, you move on, you go forward with another year. If you're not, you probably make a change. I would tell you that just making the postseason isn't good enough. This was Mississippi State baseball. Would if Georgia, and I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from people. Oh, you're comparing. Yes, I am. If Georgia, you know, they won back-to-back national titles. Well, what if Kirby Smart had followed that up with 6-6 and 5-7, or 5-7, 6-6, miss a bowl and then go to the Birmingham Bowl? He wouldn't be the head coach at Georgia today. And even if he was, it would be like, it wouldn't be, okay, well, if you win 8 games this year, you're safe. It would be, you better be back on the college football playoff. We better be competing for the SEC championship. That's where Mississippi State should be, in my opinion. But they're not, and it feels like they're a long, long way away from it right now. So, who goes first, Lemonis or Bianco? Bianco would certainly not be a midseason. They wouldn't do that to him because he's just been there for so long. So, I mean, the seasons right now, I would tell you, are probably going to end on the same day. So, it'll just be who gets the press release done first. And Richard Cross disagrees with me on that. He thinks that Bianco will not be let go at the end of the season. And he would certainly know more about that situation. He's certainly much closer to that situation than I am. But Ole Miss has had 2 bad regular seasons in a row. Granted, at the end of one of them, they were able to go to win a national title. But let's not act like that team was dominant the whole year. They got hot. They won a national title. God bless them. But that's it. That's not the trend for them right now. We'll see. Let's go back to hoops when we come back. Let's get a little bit deeper into this matchup, Mississippi State on Ole Miss. Back in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Top of the 7th in Starkville over at Duty Noble Field. Mississippi State holding on to a 10-6 lead over Austin Peay. The Governors, I believe they're the Governors. I should check that, shouldn't I?
They're the Governors.
Thank you, sir. I wasn't sure. Holding on, they have a man on with 2 out there in the top of the 7th. This is Thunder and Lightning. We're brought to you by the folks over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. They want to remind you that the Vicksburg Classic Sip Fest, this is something, by the way, that I would be big on just a little while ago. I don't know if they can accommodate me now, but 130-year anniversary of the bottling of Coca-Cola, first bottled in the city of Vicksburg. It's a week-long event with a kickoff party at the Beatenhorn Coca-Cola Museum on March 11th, the classic sip stroll over the Mississippi River on the old Mississippi River Bridge on the 15th, and the classic wheel show at Washington Street Park on March 16th. For more information on all the events, visit Vicksburg.com and visit Vicksburg on all its social media platforms. And I follow Visit Vicksburg on Facebook and Twitter, so I keep up with everything going on in my hometown. An hour and a half, give or take, until Mississippi State tips off with the Ole Miss Rebels at the Humphrey Coliseum in a game that, as we said earlier for the Rebels, has gotten to the must-win point, according to Joe Lunardi. From ESPN, and for the Bulldogs, this would be a great game to really settle in and start thinking about playing for seeding instead of playing to be on the tournament bubble. If they can get a win here, that would go a long way for that. It would be a quad two win for Mississippi State. Currently, Mississippi State, when you look at their record and your resume and you break it down, 3-6 in quad one, those three wins, and this is a big part of the reason State is where they are in the net. They have wins over the number 6 and number 7 net teams in the country at home, Tennessee and Auburn. Their other win, a game that when it happened, I don't think we gave a lot of attention to, but they beat Washington State on a neutral site in the tournament at the in Connecticut, and they are currently 32 in the net, 20-6 overall, and looking really good out there in the Pac-12. 6 losses, obviously, those are all in the SEC. State is currently 3-0 in quad two games. Without looking, I would guess those wins are all in the non-conference. I think the game against Northwestern is currently a quad two game, and it has a chance to be a quad one game. Northwestern is 57 in the net. If they go above 50 or above, they would be a quad one. I don't have the other ones right in front of me. I'm just trying to see if I can find them, but it's not standing out to me. State's game Saturday with LSU. LSU currently 88 in the net, so an 88 team on the road is a quad two game. So State with two quad two opportunities to really beef up their resume, and then like I said earlier, a chance with a couple next week, quad one games, Kentucky at home, and then Auburn on the road. That Auburn game will be very, very tough. That Auburn environment is something else. You've seen some good teams go in there and just get wrecked. Alabama lost by 17. South Carolina lost by 40 at Auburn. That is a different animal, no pun intended, for the jungle there at Auburn. For State tonight, I think the biggest key is the guys that you expect contributions from have got to contribute. And there are three guys for Mississippi State: Tolu Smith, Josh Hubbard, and I put Cam Matthews into this tier as well. Matthews has become a guy that I expect 10 to 15 points. I expect 8 to 10 rebounds, close to a double-double every time out. Hubbard, I expect anywhere from 16 to 20 points. And then there's Tolu. Tolu has had some really good games in conference play since he's returned from injury. But he's had a couple of games where he's no-showed, and in those games, State has struggled. Now, he didn't have a great game against Arkansas last weekend, but State was able to overcome that. Tonight, I really think Tolu Smith needs to have a signature game. I think that he needs to have the kind of game where you remember who he is. You know, this is a guy that prior to his injury coming into the season, there was a lot of talk that he was going to be a first-team All-SEC player and be one of the top candidates for the SEC Player of the Year. I think he was the preseason Player of the Year in the SEC. Nobody could have seen the emergence of Dalton Kanek at Tennessee. So he needs to have that kind of game. He needs to be an alpha dog tonight, no pun intended, and really control this game. And as I said earlier, Ole Miss is the type of team and the way they do things and the way that they are built, their roster is built, they have size down low that can bother Tolu Smith and can put Mississippi State in positions where they can't get the ball to him. So State's just got to kind of find ways to be creative, I think, in their offense. Now, the easiest way to do that is start hitting some shots from the outside and put Ole Miss into a situation where they're focusing on your perimeter shooters. And Hubbard and Shaq Moore are guys who can do that for Mississippi State. But at some point, it's just going to have to be, you know, you go back to that game in Oxford. Tolu got the ball a lot. He had, I think, 4 turnovers early in that game. He's just got to have a little bit more ball security and put himself in those positions. And State's got to do, like I said, do a good job of getting him there where it's catch and shoot. It's catch and go up or get fouled. It's not back your way into the paint. It's not, you know, getting the ball at the top of the circle, the top of the key. It's got to be low post play. That's what Tolu Smith is. That's how where he thrives. If you go back a season ago, I said this a lot of times, you watch State play, almost every shot was either a three or a ball within 2 feet of the rim. They didn't take a lot of mid-range jumpers. That's where Tolu Smith is at his best, is down low in the paint and working in on that low block. If he can do that tonight, if he can grind out 15, 16 points for Mississippi State, I think they can win and maybe win comfortably. But if he is struggling again, it's going to be the same result as it was in Oxford. Maybe not the same win or loss result, but it will definitely be a close, drawn-out basketball game. think about, you know, Ole Miss beat State by four in Oxford in January. Was it January 31st, I believe? And Tolu had 9 points in that game. If Tolu has 19 points in that game, State wins. And that's, you know, 19 points isn't asking a whole lot of Tolu Smith. The free throw line has just been State's bugaboo this year, and I don't know that there is an answer for that. I don't know that you're just going to, at this point in the season, State's just going to start hitting 75% plus. I think you just got to live with what State does on the free throw line, and it could very easily cost them the game. If you look at the game they played Saturday against Arkansas, 19 of 32 from the line, they won by four. They could have won by 14 just by making a reasonable amount of free throws. So that's something, you know, I just don't think that there's any fixing it at this point. It just is what it is. Defensively for State, they just got to continue to do what they've been doing to most teams on the perimeter, and that's limiting them. Ole Miss hit three-pointers in that first game, if you go back and look at it. We mentioned T.J. Caldwell and the game that he had against Mississippi State. Most of it was from behind the arc. He was 4 of 5 from back there. In that game, the Rebels were 12 of 30, 40% from behind the arc. That's not good enough for Mississippi State. You can't allow a team to shoot 40% and want to win that game. You go back. That's the State Ole Miss box score is one of the most confusing box scores. If I tell you, I think if you tell Mississippi State fans prior to the game in Oxford, hey, State's going to score 82 points tonight. They're going to shoot 53.6 from the field, 70% from the line, and they're going to out-rebound Ole Miss by 13. I think the average Mississippi State fan would have said before that game, okay, State won by 20. Instead, they lost by four because the Rebels were just so good from behind the arc. Jalen Murray, not great from back there, but 4 for 11, so just a little bit under 40%. Really good, you know, good night for him. Morrell had 20 points. Murray with 20 points. Caldwell with 18 points. That's what carried the Rebels. Nobody else had more than six. State was a little bit more balanced. They had four scorers in double figures. And Tolu Smith, like I said, with 9 points. But I don't know that State and Ole Miss are going to get that unexpected offense that they got from Caldwell for Ole Miss and from Deshaun Davis for Mississippi State. Davis in that game was fantastic. 6 of 8 from the field. He had 15 points. That was really his best offensive game in quite a long time. So we'll see where it takes him tonight. This is going to be a tremendous basketball game. I'm very excited to witness it. I think it's going to be a good one. And if Mississippi State can get the win, I think something we haven't really discussed, it'll be four straight for Mississippi State. Chance to go to 5 if they can win at LSU. Then you play Kentucky, but a 5-game winning streak at this time of the year is nothing to sneeze at. That's really good times for Mississippi State, and you know you're heating up and playing your best basketball at the right time. You know, as we're getting closer, you know, March is what, 9 days away. I mean, we're there. We're the madness is about to begin for everybody in the SEC. So, getting a fourth win in a row for Mississippi State, getting a win over Ole Miss. There's just so much packed into this one game. Quad 2 win. Chance to extend your winning streak to 4. Chance to really bump up your tournament resume. And it's Ole Miss. It's your hated, bitter rival. You want to beat them. So a lot, and for Ole Miss, it's the same thing. A quad 1 win opportunity for the Rebels. The chance to maybe get off the bubble and get out of that last 4 in category and into the and then actually into the field of 64. And then, of course, a chance to get the season sweep over Mississippi State in Chris Beard's first year. There's a lot of stuff playing at play here in this game for both teams. And it's going to, like I said, it's going to be a tremendous atmosphere in the Humphrey Coliseum just over an hour from now. We'll wrap it up with a little recruiting news when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning for one last go-round here on a Wednesday evening. As soon as I get out of here, I'm headed to the Humphrey Coliseum for Mississippi State versus Ole Miss. Thunder and Lightning brought to you by Visit Vicksburg this weekend, the Heinz JUCO Classic Softball Tournament at Sports Force Park on the Mississippi, February 23rd and 24th, featuring 12 junior college softball teams from all around the Southern United States. Come watch some of the best junior college softball teams compete in a two-day tournament at Sports Force Park on the Mississippi in Vicksburg, including the 2023 NJCAA Division II National Champions, Colin. Love the good folks at Colin, so that's good to hear. So check that out. Check out all the great stuff at visitvicksburg.com to find out more about what's going on in my hometown. Some basketball news for the future here. Hit it, Rhino. It's basketball recruiting news for Mississippi State as they have secured a commitment from the top player in the state of Mississippi, on 3-4 star Eric Payman Jr. out of Raymond, Mississippi. Has committed to the Bulldogs as of this afternoon. Rated as the number 102 player, regardless of position, by On3 Sports, and a player for Mississippi State that, you know, this is a small signing class for State right now. He is the second signee, along with point guard Delquan Warren. Feels like it's going to be a big transfer class for Mississippi State. They'll definitely be active and in the portal when we get to that point. And, of course, and Richard and I were talking about this the other day, that great opportunity for State that Cam Matthews and Shaq Moore could be back for them next year. So that would be a great veteran core, along with Josh Hubbard, obviously. And then you can bring in some transfers to work around those guys. You know, have a chance to continue the positive momentum for Mississippi State going into next season. 10-9 is the score over Duty Noble Field. They just cannot make it easy. Austin Peters hit a two-run. They had a two-run homer, or is that okay? Yeah, they made it. Yeah, they hit back-to-back home runs to make it 10-9. Nobody out in the top of the eighth, y'all. I'm just going to tell you right now that the Thunder and Lightning podcast is going to have a lot of great college football content for you this spring. We're going to talk a ton of college football starting up very soon because, goodness gracious, this baseball team, man, I'm not overly surprised by the struggles. But at the same time, if they drop two to Austin Peay, I don't really care about Mershon and Kohler being out. I don't care about it at that point. Look me in the eye and tell me, okay, well, they lost two to Austin Peay, but they'll win 14 games against, you know, LSU, Vanderbilt, Florida, Arkansas. They'll win those games. Look me in the eye and tell me that with a straight face. Come on, guys. Ish, this team. Let's move it towards basketball. Big game for the Bulldogs. If I got to make a prediction, somebody got on me on the text line. I'll make a prediction. I think State wins. I think it's going to be really, really close. If I were betting tonight, you know, like I said, the line 6.5, you might get me to take the Rebels and the points. Because I think it could be something like 75-70, 74-70. Something like, I don't think it would be as high scoring a game as it was a couple weeks ago. I don't think State shoots 53% from the field. I don't think Ole Miss shoots 40% from behind the arc. Heck, State was 44% from behind the arc in that game. What a weird game. We thought that game was going to be a total rock fight, and instead it was one of the best-played college basketball games in the SEC this year. So, big game, and if State wins, also, you know, let us not forget that unless I want to be wearing red and blue at the Palmer Home Radiothon, I need this one, guys. I need it. I'll be down 4-3. And, you know, say what you want about Mississippi State baseball. Ole Miss lost today to Arkansas State. That's going to be, you're talking about a rock fight. I can't wait for those baseball games. It might set the sport back to the days of Doubleday. But I would have to take the baseball series. I would need three of the four games they play, the SEC series and the Governor's Cup. Richard only needs a split if State wins tonight. Now, if State loses tonight, he only needs one game when we get to baseball. So I would be in real trouble there. Real trouble. I'll look great I'll look great no matter what I'm wearing. You know, I'm a handsome man. You put me in powder blue. I wonder what he'll do. You know, last year I did the jersey thing to him. Does he go that route, or does he make me wear like a powder blue seersucker suit with the bow tie? That's what I would do to him if the roles were reversed. I would make him dress like the stereotypical Ole Miss frat boy. And if I win, I have big plans for him this year. But we'll see. I got a lot of work to do, and it starts tonight here. If something doesn't change for State, the head coach is gone. I feel like the pitching. Yeah, Justin Parker's got to be looking around going, what was I thinking? I don't know, man. Really, really tough. Appreciate you guys tuning in tonight here on Thunder and Lightning. Let's head to the hump. I'll see you there and back with you tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.